So hopefully everybody remembered to bring their books back today. We are on page 26, September 26, as we continue our series here on Joshua and home court advantage. And so what we got today is spies, a prostitute, a panicked leader, a midnight escape, a cover-up in the dead of the night, and a frantic search. What am I talking about? Am I talking about our Bible event today, or is it a new Netflix series? Because that's what I think of when I think of these things. But obviously, this is the event we're talking about today is in Joshua chapter 2, about Rahab and the spies and Joshua. And we really get to see Joshua and his leadership abilities starting to form in this event here. And if you look in your books, the first one, Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. And that's in Deuteronomy 34:9. Moses laid hands on Joshua, transferring, you know, the power, the leadership role over to Joshua to lead the Israelites, because Moses was about to die at that point. And Joshua was the one that was going to lead the Israelites into the promised land, something that Moses did not get to do. Joshua is the one that got to do this. And so, Pastor mentioned this a little briefly in the confession absolution time, that we can see that Joshua's leadership abilities are growing because he was paying attention. Remember, we've talked about how Moses took his job of discipling Joshua very seriously. And the event of the 12 spies, when Moses sent 12 spies in to check it out, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 that came back with a positive report. And now Joshua, again, in his leadership role, wants to check out first the city of Jericho and what's going on there. And Joshua only sends in two spies. And I can guarantee you that these are two guys that Joshua trusts and has been discipling himself. And he knows they're going to be faithful and trustworthy and bring back the report he needs before they go in to the promised land. So you can see Joshua starting to grow already in this spirit of wisdom. And so we get to this event for today, Joshua chapter 2. And I'm just going to read the first 11 verses here of chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." So somehow, some way, this news of the Israelites wandering around in the desert had gotten to the people of Jericho, and especially Rahab. Rahab heard about how these people got to cross over the Red Sea on dry ground, that their God had split the waters. Now, keep in mind, she found out about this, and they didn't have Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, or Snapchat to tell them. See, when something that amazing happens, word is going to travel. You see, the people back then liked gossip and talking about things they've heard. You know, it's a good thing that we've gotten past that in our day in 2021. We don't have to deal with that. But someone told Rahab about the God of the Israelites, about what God had done for his people. And the Holy Spirit took that word and created faith in Rahab. And that's how it works. Just like Rahab, you and I have been saved by grace through faith. And faith is a gift that God gives us. And we are just like Rahab in that respect. And just like Rahab, we get to put our faith into action. And that's exactly what Rahab is doing here in this event. She is putting her faith into action by protecting those two spies because she knew that their God was the one true God. So I have a question for you this morning. When God calls you to act out on your faith, will you? God opens doors for us at different times to act out on our faith, and sometimes we take them, sometimes we don't. Whenever I think about this, I'm always convicted by that event that happened back in the 90s. One of the first school shootings in Columbine. Does anybody remember that? Might be before some of your time. But one of the girls that was shot that day had a gun to her head, and they specifically asked her, because they knew she was a Christian, "Do you believe in Jesus?" You know, I would like to think that I would have said yes, just like that girl did right before they killed her. Would I have that boldness, that confidence in my faith? Would I be able to act out on it like she did? Would I be able to act out on it like Rahab did? She lived in a pagan city with a king, a pagan. They worshipped many other gods. She had courage to defend these two spies because God gave it to her. Another interesting thing here about Rahab is, according to the law, Rahab had already struck out. She had three strikes against her. She was a prostitute. She lived in a pagan nation who worshipped other gods. And not only that, she was living in one of the cities that was the worst of them all, Jericho, where they worshipped many other gods. So she had three strikes against her. And she was a Gentile. And according to the law, the Israelites weren't even supposed to associate with Gentiles. So she was struck out. She was already condemned by the law. But that's another thing that we share with Rahab. We also are already condemned by the law. We are standing in that batter's box with the bat on our shoulders watching the strikes go by. But there's a wonderful nugget here in Joshua chapter 2. So the second bullet point there that I forgot to tell you, Rahab protected God's people because of her faith. And that's exactly what she did. She acted out on that faith. And now we get to this wonderful little nugget here in Joshua chapter 2. And I'm going to read these verses 18 through 21. "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household." The two spies are saying this to Rahab, by the way. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you, Rahab, in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And Rahab said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Can anybody see where I'm going here with this? Thank you, Diane. Yes, the crimson thread. We see it again in another event in the Bible. It's used with the scarlet cord. Rahab was saved by a scarlet cord. Do you think this was an accident? This, of course, reminds us back to the Passover, too, when the 10th plague came upon Egypt. All the Israelites would be saved because they painted their doorposts with the blood of the lamb. And now we get Rahab being saved by a scarlet cord. You see, God doesn't care how many strikes you may have against you. You know, but don't be confused about this. He doesn't like these strikes. He doesn't like the fact that we're just standing in the batter's box with the bat on our shoulders, watching, committing strike after strike. You know, we would never be able to get out of that batter's box on our own. So he sent us a scarlet cord to save us, also known as the crimson thread, also known as Jesus, the Son of God, who he sent to die on the cross for each and every one of our sins. And so an interesting thing, you know, we'll read about this in the next couple weeks in this sermon series, but the Israelites, spoiler alert, the Israelites go in and they defeat Jericho, they take it over. And after the Israelites conquered Jericho, Rahab and her family stayed with the Israelites and lived with them there. You see, even though Rahab had all these strikes against her, God forgave her of all of her sins because of the faith that he worked in her. And he used Rahab. Rahab put her faith into action, and God used it. So what does this teach us? What can we learn from this event of Rahab? Well, God can and does use anyone for his kingdom. Anyone. We should have no doubt about that when we read this event about Rahab. Somebody who had already struck out in the eyes of the law, and God uses her. So let me ask you another question here. See if you can identify with any of these following statements. I don't have any gift that can benefit the church. I'm not as spiritual as other people. Other people are better at doing that church stuff. I want to do HCA with my family or spouse, but don't feel equipped, or I feel it's too late, or I'm just a screw up. How can I talk to my family about Jesus? You know, we talked a couple weeks ago in my sermon about how Moses discipled Joshua and took that seriously. And I mentioned Grace, my daughter who went off to college, and how that was tough now that, you know, she's no longer part of our home court advantage, and she's creating her own home court advantage. And I was legitimately concerned about that. And you know what? For all those times that I did drop the ball when there was opportunities to talk to my daughter, my oldest daughter, about Jesus, in spite of that, those times that I did, the Holy Spirit used that. And So I went in to have that surgery on Tuesday, and this is a text I got from my oldest daughter on Tuesday morning. Before I went into my surgery, she sent me this. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10. That meant so much. Coming from the daughter, I was asking myself, did I do enough? Well, the Holy Spirit did use me in spite of myself to work in grace. And I promise you, whatever you do in your homes with your children, your grandchildren, your spouses, whoever, when you're talking about God's word and you're talking about Jesus, it's going to make a difference. Your faith is going to be stronger. The faith of your household will become stronger. And amazing things will happen. And so this whole thing of God can use anyone, Rahab's a perfect example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And listen to this awesome thing here. So this is in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew is giving us the genealogy of Jesus, how the line, the relatives of Jesus. And so we get to verse 4, and it says, I'm going to say some big names here, "And Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth." Rahab, this prostitute who had struck out, who would have been guilty according to the law, was guilty according to the law, shows up in Jesus' genealogy. You see what amazing things God can do with anyone, no matter what baggage you may be carrying? You know, Matthew makes no attempt in this genealogy to hide scandals. Rahab is a reminder that Jesus is for everyone, every single person, no matter what. No matter what your walk of life has done, no matter those deep, dark, secret sins that you may or may not have committed, Jesus is for you. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus died for each and every one of those sins. And no matter who you are, no matter what you think you may, what kind of gift you think you may or may not have, God can use you just like he used Rahab. And I have a picture up here on the screen. Mention this a little bit. This scarlet cord on the cross. You see, again, this beautiful thing in the Word. I hope you're really starting to see this and learn this, that there's nothing random in the Bible. Everything is connected by the crimson thread, the scarlet cord, and it's awesome. This is all about Jesus, everything, and about what Jesus did for us. We talked about that in the Bible study that we're doing in Revelation right now. The book of Revelation is all about Jesus. It's not about that scary stuff. It's about Jesus and what he did for us. You see this scarlet, crimson, red blood that Jesus shed on that cross covered each and every one of our sins. And that's how much he loves you and I. And we praise him so much for that. Will you please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for creating us and making us just the way you want us. Please forgive us for those times we don't take the opportunities you place in front of us to put our faith into action. Please give us the courage and strength to put our faith into action just like you did with Rahab. Help us to never doubt that you can use us in your church here on earth. We come before you this morning lifting up to you the the great physician. All those that are struggling with sickness, with disease, with depression, with injuries, with cancer, and everything else that causes us to suffer in this life. We ask that you be with all of our medical professionals who are working to help people, and with all those who are taking care of someone. We ask that the leaders of our country and the leaders of the world would seek your guidance and direction in all that they do. And we ask for peace, peace that only you can give. Please be with us here, Promise, helping us to always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep Jesus as our number one on our priority list. And finally, we bring to you our heartfelt thanks for loving us enough to send your son Jesus, who took the full force of your wrath on our behalf. And we now pray the prayer the one who shed his blood for us taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will.